What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. Coming at you 3 days a week with all the fresh Clippers content brought to you by Built Bar. Check them out at BuiltBar.com.
Built Bar.
We've got a special promo for Locked On users. We are actually joined today by the illustrious.
I'm waiting. That's all you're going to say?
Oh, I need to go on.
The unprecedented.
Dr. Tarchi is back. I hope everybody is quarantining Clippers style.
That's right. Always great to have Dr. Tarchi on the pod. We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to kick things off with a little talk about Lou Will's legacy. It's Lou Will Week, I guess, on Clipper Twitter. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. It's still going on. It's always happening. So we're going to talk about kind of his influence, what that could mean for the future of sort of the sixth man, as well as like how a younger generation of players will sort of cater their game. And then we're going to talk about a redesign that never was. We got sent an article by fantastic Clipper user, listener, check him out, at LOLWTF Eric, about a rebrand that never was. And then we're going to be wrapping things up with some shavings. Practice will be starting by the time that you're listening to this. We've got some Drew League stuff. And then we're going to do a Love, Mary, Quarantine with some possible Clipper rebrand ideas. So all that and more coming up right about now.
Yeah, so we're talking Lou Will's legacy for Lou Will Week. And I guess kind of just to start this off, in my, basketball lifetime of being fandom and whatnot, other than Jamal Crawford, he's the most ubiquitous sixth man. The only sixth man I really knew about other than him or paid attention to was like Eric Snow on those AI teams. But do we think Lou Will is kind of maybe inspiring a generation of kids to understand that the sixth man is just as important as a starter?
100%. I mean, to me though, like Lou Will has elevated that whole sixth man thing to another thing. Ever since he won that first one in Toronto, I even feel like, you know, there's some of those glue six man that you can look throughout like history and great teams and be like, oh, that was, you know, like that was a solid contributor. That was like a voice in the locker room, whatever, whatever. I don't think there's as prolific of a scorer as Lou Will.
When you have somebody like Lou Williams, he's a kind of a changer, a culture changer in a way where it's like, I would say, basketball-wise, the position of sixth man is usually still just as heralded. Like there can be moments if your ego is too far in the way. There could be moments of being like, well, I'm good enough to be a starter. Why am I not a starter? But if you can mm-hmm. like set that ego aside and realize how important the sixth man is, how when your starters get tired, you need somebody to come in with the exact same amount of energy and skill that it takes to continue moving forward in the game. Like, it's not 12th man, 13th man, 15th man. Yeah,
you're the next guy.
I've been all three of those. Like that doesn't feel good. Like there's six man.
Yeah.
Like there's the bench guy who contributes and the bench guy who keeps the bench from flying away. Like and I think one thing about him as far as like who he is, he's like him and Pat Bev are kind of like the glue of the team, but in two different ways. So like Pat Bev has the hardworking dog mentality that's like, this is we're the second team, we're overlooked, we have all this, and we just kind of, you know, we're doing it the right way and the hard way. And then there's Lou.
Yeah, people in the back.
Lou, who's cool as hell, who's like, yeah, man, I may be in the back, but it's lit back here. You know? Like,
yeah.
we snuck in a flask. We kicking it, we in the back, but we like,
come to the back.
Like, y'all up there, y'all trying to front run, like we back here, and guess what?
Yeah,
like people don't think about us, and we win it because of like.
It's crazy for me too, because Lou Will is a superstar.
Yes,
like border, like not even just a local, like not even like, oh, you know, like the local Clippers fan. He's like a borderline NBA superstar
because it
in terms of image,
because he is so cool and because he is a player that like people will look at and see as like a kind of a trendsetter in a way. And how he, like, nobody yeah. got no beef with him. If you got beef with Lou Will, I remember there was one, I was watching Lou's Instagram Live one night. He was on there with Dion Waiters. And Dion Waiters was talking some shit to him. And I'm like, I feel like Dion, like, it was just weird. And maybe they were joking. And
learn how to handle your gummies, first of all. Then yeah. you can talk to Lou Will.
A conversation that was directed at something else, but then it turned into a little bit of Laker yeah. Clipper type stuff. And it was like, hold on, let's wait a second here. And then it started to get a little oddly serious because, you know, Dion, I mean, I don't know that dude, so he yeah. probably is a tough guy. But he was acting kind of like he was hard, and Lou was kind of just like, look, man, I'm over here.
Yeah, and Lou's never going to act like that. Like, yeah. Lou's not like...
I feel like Lou is the embodiment of, look, man, you can talk all that crap you want, and chances are I'm probably not going to fight you. But I got people who will. And those are the people who yeah. you don't want to do.
Yeah, the people behind Lou Will is something I would yeah. never want to have to deal with.
And he's not a crap talker. He just kind of like, I feel like he's like a, if I said it, I mean it type dude. And him and Dion Waiters were getting into it over some weird stuff, and I was like, all right, man, Dion, if Dion want that smoke, I'm down to ride for you, Lou. Like, Dion Waiters would probably beat my ass, but yeah,
high as hell, exactly. One gummy.
Lou Will is like, I mean, like, his influence and temperament is so chill that it makes me a little bummed out that we're really not gonna be trying to develop young guards. The rest of Lou Will's tenure here. Like, I just can't think of a better role model or like a better mentor to a young guard in a franchise than Lou Williams. I loved him in the season that he spent with Shea. It bums me out that we're not going to get to see more of that because of the window that's kind of imposed on us.
And his style of play is so hard to be like, hey, young guard, emulate this guy. Like, that's yeah. such a – you got to trust that young player a lot that they're also going to – you know, because you maybe – you know, you don't want to maybe draft a Lou Will at 15. Like, you might, but Jay was so good. But, like, not every young guard – like, you'd imagine, like, Terrence Mann trying to play Lou Will's game. Like, it'd just be – it's so funny how you got to find that right fit for guard to be able to learn from Lou Will.
Oh, for sure, for sure. But I think the confidence – to get them to learn. Oh, I think the confidence yeah. is contagious.
For sure.
The confidence is contagious, and like I think that I don't know. I think that that's what you want for that's to me the kind of mentor that I yeah. want for. It's
also Lou is also like the embodiment. Every time I hear NBA players being like, "Look, man, like all you gotta do is you know believe in yourself and you know read to achieve and all this like," and I'm just like, yeah. "Bro, you are 6'9". Like I don't want to hear that.
You're gifted.
You. Like you have fast twitch muscles that yeah. I couldn't even dream of having." Like it's you. Yeah. You have you are a superhero.
Your wingspan is a foot and yeah. a half longer than mine.
But Lou Will is such a regular dude. Like when you see him in person, when you see him on the court, like the way yeah. that he manipulates the NBA, the way just how good he is. Because when you look at him, he's not the fastest guy. He's not he literally is like a regular dude from the hood made the NBA.
It's like, so yeah. It's so funny speed. Seeing him in person.
He has one speed. He's that guy who has one speed and is so good at his game that it doesn't matter how fast he's going.
You can usually tell these type of guys because most of the time they're very bad at defense, and he is, and you can see yeah. like most of the time any guy that's been in the league that they go, oh man, that guy's a horrible defender. It's usually that's just a dude who's really good at 24-hour fitness who's like, yeah man, I got a chance. I fit the scheme wherever yeah. I go. Yeah.
I got a type. Like, yeah. So that goes into, like, Doc, I don't think gets, like, does Doc get enough credit for turning Lou from literally was going to retire after the 17-18 season to could be critical piece on a championship team? Like, the first meeting that he and Lou Will had after the trade, Lou told him, I'm not playing defense and I'm not lifting weight. And now we sit here. Like, I just don't think any other coach would get him to do this.
So I actually don't know if it's like Doc motivating Lou. I don't think that that's the case so much as like Doc knowing this piece that he has and being able to build around that. Because I don't want to say that Lou is like uncoachable or anything like in a bad
way,
but like Lou does what he does, man. He's like, if he
exactly.
Yeah,
that's a hard player to coach.
Yeah.
I've been that player. Not fun.
Yeah, if he is like an Allen key and like you need a hammer, I mean, I'm sorry, dude. He's like, he's not your guy.
Here for that.
Yeah. But like, if you can recognize that and I feel like kind of build the scheme around it, I do give credit to Doc for that.
Lou Williams is really in so many ways what so many children should be looking up to, because like I was saying before, like he's a nice dude.
Guy.
He has two willing and consensual girlfriends like that,
partners.
Like that want to be there. He didn't force them in anything. He didn't. Yeah,
they know the score. Everyone knows the score.
He has great parties. I've attended one myself. Flex.
For
me
you
and Derek
Walton
shared a moment. You know what's funny about that too? I did another podcast. I did a podcast for my friend Jensen Karp. And he has like he talks to like an athlete, and then he'll talk to like one of his comedian friends, and I was the comedian friend on one episode, and guess who the athlete was? DWJ. Yeah,
really?
I was like, you should have had us both on together, so I would have been like, yo, D, my boy, little bro, remember?
My boy, yo, D.
Remember we was at the party, little bro,
it's
little bro right there.
The kid, it's me,
it's
Carl.
It's up, man.
When you talk about developing, like when I said developing young guards to Lou Will as a mentor to DWJ, I feel like would have been perfect,
great.
Like as a continuation
of
his career.
I like that Doc, after Lou told him he's not playing defense, he has to lift some weights, was basically like, you have to try and play some defense, but we'll talk about the weights. Like he was like, I don't care, the weights, yeah, whatever, don't work out. Like, that's fine. There's a fun fact about Lou Will, actually. Twitter user at StepbackTree discovered Lou Will is actually one of the better defenders of inbounds passes in the league. He gets steals at a higher rate than the league average. So, you know, maybe not totally.
That's cool. Horrible. I mean, you know, and horrible. What is horrible? What's in a name? You know, it's like, I will say,
relevant.
Like, as much as Lou looks and embodies that of a person who is like, you know, made it from, like, came up from nothing, underground goat, like, that type of guy, like,
yeah.
He still is in the NBA. He still has probably learned, yeah,
he probably has
learned how to do certain things that...
He will steal the ball from everybody that he plays with
100%.
After he gets out of the NBA, just to piss people off. He's going to be that guy to be like, oh, yeah, yeah, I didn't play much defense.
Oh,
then.
Yeah, because dumbasses are going to, like, he's going to pull up to the LA Fitness, and dumbasses are going to be like, oh, Lou... I mean, Lou on me.
Got
Lou
him.
On me. Yeah.
ISO.
And he's going to cook
it out
like a box of spaghetti.
He's just going to take it. Yeah. Hope everyone had a good Lou Will week on Twitter. Coming up after this, we're talking the 91 redesign that never was. But first, we have to give a special shout out to our sponsors for the pod this month, Built Bar.
That's right.
Built Bars are some of the best tasting protein fitness bars you are going to find. It's almost like a candy bar.
It is. Covered
salted,
in 100% chocolate.
100%. I'm a salted caramel fan. Health. Banana one is also pretty good, too. They're also pretty healthy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Will said he wants to put that on his gravestone
yes.
when he dies. We bought the gravestone the other day. So that's.
I bought a gun.
That's all set
so
up.
We can make it happen.
Bought a gun. We good to go. Built Bar is all part of this. There's brownie. Mint brownie's good. 15 grams of protein, 110 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 5 grams net carb. You need to go to their website, builtbar.com. Go straight to the source. Use promo code LOCKEDON, all capital letters, one word. You'll get $10 off your first order. One more time, LOCKEDON at builtbar.com. $10 off your first. Okay.
All right. So we're back, and we're talking the redesign that never was. Just want to give another shout-out to Twitter user at LOLWTF, Eric.
Eric Bowie. He's a fantastic artist. Makes some cool stuff. Also plays Animal Crossing. Has all the Kawhi jerseys if you play Animal Crossing.
All right. So, Charles, give us a little bit of background on this on this redesign that never happened.
So Tom O'Grady, the NBA creative director at the time of 91, had a story about the Clippers – wanting to do a redesign after they had moved, obviously, from San Diego and Buffalo to LA.
Side note, did Tom O'Grady just want every NBA team to be the Celtics?
Yeah, he was like, how about this?
What if you have Clover?
See, the quote is, we felt, so it's a nautical theme. He said, we felt the nautical theme, the San Diego Clippers after moving from Buffalo, really was less appropriate in LA. The surf and beach culture along the Pacific Coast, how we wanted that lifestyle, inspired us to use a wave, a morphing of the Oakley and Cooper Tires logo, for you logo heads out there. And the color palette is, I would also describe, a very distinct seafoam green, creamsicle orange, and then black and silver trim. Which, I don't know, mixed results. But of course, in Clippers fashion, the owner signed off, the owner at the time, Donald Sterling, on the new logo, which surprised the league and the team, since Sterling was known to be a master vacillator. But on this one, he was a strong go. After getting legal clearances, they put the logo in production, and all systems were go. Time passed, and we begun to create uniform prototypes for the Clips. So that's the other thing. These exist somewhere. Like, the prototype of whatever this jersey is exists somewhere. It would be really cool to try and track that down. But lo and behold, this Tom O'Grady received a call from NBA Properties President Rick Welts, who alerted him that Sterling was getting cold feet and that we needed to get on a cross-country flight to try and convince him to stay the course. In the tradition of the Clippers franchise at the time, Sterling got in the way of his own progress and killed the entire project. What was really annoying is when Sterling wanted to start the project over using a nautical theme in place of what we had created. Rick Welts, who hired Tom O'Grady at the NBA, he really respected, told Sterling in no uncertain terms that this was not going to happen. Well, it never came to pass. As you know, the team was eventually sold to Steve Ballmer for $2 billion a few years. So, the classic Clippers story.
My gosh.
Donald Sterling just...
Tale as old as time. Gosh.
Have we talked about this before, but not to derail too far from this, it kind of is...
No, it's okay. We'll go back.
Derail us.
It is in the same arena as this.
That Benny on the track.
The move to Orange County and how he stopped that, he got in the way of that. Do you think that that would have been beneficial to the identity of the team? Because I look at the Angels,
I don't know.
The Angels have a huge fan base.
Horrible.
Like, I know that there's still a big
but
rivalry.
It's weird.
And the fan base is weirder, you know, for...
It's spread out. I just mean it's weird. Since it's, I don't know.
It feels just like... But this was around the same time, because that game that's airing as we're recording this... The playoff game that we had during the riots, just another part of the curse that's what we're going through right now. Although that team wasn't going to beat that Jazz team.
Yeah.
But
Billy Chris,
but like that, they went down to Orange County. They packed the place. They packed what is now known as the Honda Center.
Extenuating circumstances.
Yeah, of course. I mean, bandwagon. You know, they probably would have packed the Sports Arena that night too. But it kind of, I guess what I mean is, like, after that game, that's when they were kind of like, hey, maybe we should make this a permanent thing. And Donald Sterling was like, no, basically because he didn't want to drive down there. Which, now that is understandable. If they move down there now, I might be.
I hear that.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But I will say, like, this whole thing, like, what happens with this guy? I feel like he's just such an egomaniac that if it wasn't his decision.
He had to have paid so much. For this to get to this point, right? Like, if they're making prototypes of these jerseys, like, he's paying for it, right?
Maybe.
Well, that makes it even a bigger waste, because then you're just like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Maybe he's not, though.
I guess, but it's just crazy. Like, it's like last second thing, he just pulled the plug on these uniforms, which there's a great edit out there. We put it on the Clippers Twitter. At Conrad Burry did an edit. They, you know, they kind of look, they're very reminiscent of the Vancouver Grizzlies colorways.
Yeah.
Like, that blue is so distinctive with what's in our brains now. This would have come out before that colorway, though. But it's interesting. Do you think the trajectory, would you have wanted the Clippers to completely kind of change their logo to be completely different from the Lakers? Because the old Clippers logo was very similar
to
the Lakers logo. It was the basketball with the cursive. Like,
well, the
it was... But this was like a departure, at least in the early 90s, to try and make
something. Well, the cursive Los Angeles was literally a straight ripoff of what the Lakers jerseys looked like before they went to the, like, racing track. Like,
And then
the basketball logo was, like, that was pretty much the exact same. Like, when you look at that, yeah. I was like, what the hell was he thinking?
Yeah. It's so obvious. Like, now that Photoshop exists, like, you're just, like, you just transpose
it. I think this would have been really cool. I mean, this is before I was a Clipper fan, but, like, that would have been really cool to see that.
Yeah, I think this would have been huge. I mean, so, I do wonder, like, to Carl's first point, what would happen, like, had the Clippers made the move to OC, because I do feel like the Angels, it weirdly helps their national appeal being, like, a little bit separate.
They have that weird name, though.
Even though they are the Angels, like, yeah, the Angels of
Los Angeles. Angels
of Los Angeles. Yeah. But I think, like, to another point, right, is, like, let's say you're a person without a team or without a fandom. It doesn't hurt to go for a team with a great-looking uniform and logo.
Yeah, that's how you get new people.
And so I think that, like, this rebrand could have been really helpful in that regard. I mean, naturally, they still weren't getting a lot of nationally televised games, but still, this is, like... it's a good-looking rebrand. It's a good-looking uniform, and I do feel like... a little bit, the Clippers, you know, design and jersey has maybe been a little bit plagued.
I think shocking hot take there.
There's just, you know, there's definitely like there could have been some more heat brought out there, and I do think that helps with a burgeoning fan base.
That's a good call, Carl. You recently purchased some older Clippers gear today, and kind of found out, because you're always upset. You're a fan of the
all red. Yeah, I like the all red. Today I got a Blake all red Los Angeles, like the Los Angeles across it. Got that.
Yeah.
That was on sale online. So shout out to Steve Ballmer for trading away Blake. His jerseys are on sale now. They're cheap.
They're cheap.
But
nothing better.
That's
than
the one. I think
favorite.
That one's what, like 20. It's before Sterling. But before the new logo, is before Ballmer, I mean, but before the new logo.
Yeah.
Was Ballmer, did the new logo come out the last year of Sterling or the first year of Ballmer? Okay, so
first
it was
year
that
of Ballmer.
It was that year, the 2012 jerseys basically. The ones that they, that last playoff series, the ones that they were playing in when the whole crap went down. Yeah.
When they turned
it's dope.
Yeah.
So I got one of those. I'm still looking. I want to get a Jamal Crawford in the blue one, Los Angeles, or maybe even DeAndre.
It's hard to find those old.
Yeah. But even harder, the one I got a Lamar Odom rookie year champion. So like one of the ones.
That's crazy.
Like 1999 champion joint.
That's
I found
a good
that
buy.
One on eBay, and got that one in my size. And I'm really happy about that, but it caused me to go on, like, I was wondering, I'm like, look, is Steve Ballmer trying so hard to erase the history of the Clippers that he's blocking merch from being so?
Yeah, like
yeah,
the old
yeah, like
Sterling
the real
stuff.
Old stuff.
Yeah.
You can find Blake era stuff. I think at that point, Donald had just kind of like, he was kind of giving up in a way. Like, he was like, yeah,
was
fine,
like,
we can do whatever y'all like. That point, the business was being ran a little bit big.
They're also making so much money, and also too, like,
that's what Ballmer bought the forum for, just to ditch all this old Clippers gear that he's bought
up because
he doesn't want people to rep the Sterling.
Dude, if I walk
Clippers
into that,
gear,
if I walk into that damn forum and the whole building is just full of old Clippers jerseys, I'm gonna die. Like, I'm gonna all that shit. I want that stuff so bad. But what was I gonna say? Oh no! So when they moved to LA. Like, Donald just didn't put money into merchandising. Like, there's a news clip. I think I sent it to you, Charles. There's a news clip of the first game, and there were people. It was a game against the Knicks. Actually, I'm wearing a Knicks jersey right now. It was a first game against the Knicks in the sports arena. It was fairly empty. But the people that were there were like, you know, I'm excited to have a new team in Los Angeles because people are tired of the Lakers. They're winning all the time. Like, let's get a new. Yeah,
we want someone who
but
sucks.
No, it goes to show you that this whole phenomena of people hating the good teams is not new at all, because it's
not
social media.
There's Mets fans, you know, like there's like there's people growing up.
But
like
the guy was like, yeah, and then they show like they even have some good merch here, and they showed like a merchandise stand. It was one stand with like a couple hats and a couple T-shirts. And it was like,
it was on a sheet so they could
exactly it like it was just away. It's just like he didn't put money. He did. They didn't sell that stuff. They just didn't sell that much stuff.
Which is so crazy because like you want the team to be profitable, but you don't want to make merch. I'm like, what do you think?
It was so many decisions that he made that were decisions of I want the team to be to be profitable, but I don't want to make money. Like it you win.
It's baffling.
You win when you put money in. You win. Yeah,
and then you make money. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking the practice start that is going to be the day that you're listening to this. The Drew League is shut down, unfortunately, and then a really quick love, Mary Paul.
All right. So by the time that you're listening to this, practice facilities will have
opened
in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Yes. What does this mean exactly?
1.5 people can get in. You can have a coach on their stomach halfway between the door and the outside, yelling at whoever's on the court. I don't know. Who do we think goes first? Who's the first Clipper in the gym? Is it Bev? He's still in Chicago, I think.
Yeah, but he, you know he's working out. Yeah. You know he ain't following. His quarantine is much different than ours, I guarantee you.
Dude, his stories are like, he's doing a bunch of
them. I think balls will be covered in Purell, but because Purell is not being sold right now, it's just going to be aloe vera gel and rubbing alcohol.
Well, there's that procedure they have to do where like the NBA has like you have to spray it and then like dunk it in a tank and then wipe it down. You have to do that with every ball, which
feels
I don't know how tedious. Many people have it seems like it feels tedious bet. Feels tedious and like I don't know all the, you have to if you're a professional basketball player and you don't have a hoop on your personal property, I feel like that's an oversight. But like all of these guys have a hoop.
Yeah, like what's the thing you're missing the most if you're an athlete going back to practice? Like, because they're equipment. they're not gonna have that the catered lunches and breakfast and stuff anymore.
Why not? They can pick up that food.
So there's gonna be one caterer, one athlete.
Wait a second,
Willow
Dyke. Are you telling me that the Staples Center is not gonna have its famous wheat bread, cheddar slices, and turkey slices with a bowl of mayonnaise? That's my favorite part of being a season ticket holder.
Wet tomatoes.
Yeah,
that
you know what?
I am
pissed. That is the one thing that I am pissed about with this whole virus. I'm so pissed at whoever started this. Whoever was patient zero, you're wrong for that because now buffets are gone. Especially my favorite buffet, the Staples Center. Insider.
Wait, the Lexus one?
The Lexus Lounge?
Dude, I wish I get an Lexus Lounge. We can only peer into the Lexus Lounge until we're shooed away by someone with big broom. The sushi looks fantastic.
Oh, wait. Then maybe I'm in the wrong one. Not the one down by the court. It's the one that's upstairs.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's a nice one, too. Again, another place we're not allowed to be.
Sandwiches.
It's probably the same food.
I guarantee you it
is. Presser, which is pretty funny to think about.
It's such a generic spread.
Chili dogs and nachos.
The Lexus room one is too. It's the same.
The Lexus room one is crazy. I actually follow someone on Instagram who is a Lexus like room member, and they post pictures of some absurd amounts of sushi that people take during a basketball. Like, I don't.
It's like the good stuff with the imitation crab meat.
Oh, it's good. Random, not Clippers note, but kind of a sad, just LA note in general. The Drew League is not going to happen, which sucks. The Drew League is amazing. Trez, notable Drew League destroyer of worlds. He played as much basketball as he could there. Where do we? Frank Nitti is the leading scorer in the Drew League. Where are all these guys just going to descend on Parks and ruin everyone's day? Like, all these Drew League players who are better, so much better than, like, regular street players are just, like, out now.
Do you think that they're all shipping out to states and cities where there's more relaxed, to, like, stay-at-home measures and social distancing measures?
If there's tournaments and there's money to be made, like, for sure.
I bet you they're just gaining weight. That's what they're doing.
They're taking the summer off.
Gotta cultivate some mass. Come back to next year's Drew League even stronger.
Yeah, game's going to be different next year. Everything's going to be so much bigger. All right, so we're going to get to Lumberjack Quarantine, some rebrand ideas. Everyone just fire off randomly their own rebrand idea. We've talked about the Vaqueros before, so I don't think we have to do that one again. But my rebrand idea, I think I'm going with, this is a horrible one. This is catering to a very small audience, but this is if they do move to the OC, and it's just the Los Angeles backwards hats. And they're just like, they embrace OC bro culture 100%. I think Ballmer pushes it. Yeah, that's what I got right now.
I think if they move to the OC, they should be called the Los Angeles Californias.
That's
Los
not
Angeles
bad.
Californias? That would be pretty damn hard. I'm kind of into that.
That would be so... Like, not in the sing-song voice, the Los Angeles Californias is crazy.
You gotta say it, ladies and gentlemen. Give it up for your Los Angeles, California.
Oh, Lakers fans would be so mad. Like, oh, we're California. Like,
oh man.
Will, what do you got?
So I feel like to save money on a rebrand, maybe Sterling wouldn't have bought a new property or like had something new designed. So maybe. We just take over the Whalers from Hartford.
Steal the Whalers
when they're no longer in when they're no longer in the NHL.
They're playing in hockey jerseys.
Yeah, yeah. Or that's a good call. We just lean into I don't know how corruption would be involved, but we try to butter up the union and just call the team the Longshoremen.
Oh, that'd be nice, like a noir theme, like a 1920s LA Confidential, like.
Yeah, the Longshoremen, I feel like, is like big.
Honestly, Longshoremen would be cool. All of LA's Longshoremen would be like, "Nah, we Lakers fans."
Yeah, I'm a working class man. I love the Lakers. I've never even been to a game. Well, I think I gotta actually pick the Longshoremen because I think Longshoremen would be a tight. You could do a cool colorway, like. I think I'm honestly the most thing I'm tired of with the Clippers is the colorway. So I'm down for any.
You don't like the red, white, and blue?
I like it. I'm just tired of it. I think. Like,
Why didn't we just switch our jersey to the city jersey from?
That would have been hard. Because okay. You know, I always say, I always bring this up, but when Apple Diop from the Black Eyed Peas did a halftime show, they were wearing white versions of that jersey.
That was a great jersey.
Good call.
Why don't we just do that jersey? It was fine.
That is a great jersey.
It was awesome.
Charles said she didn't take my name suggestion. I'm moving them to Seattle. And they're going to be the Seattle Californias.
God damn it. You know that Bezos would buy it from Ballmer. Like, yeah. Got you, son of a bitch. Carl, thank you so much for joining the pod. Dr. Tarchi, it's always fantastic.
Fantastic to be here. Drink water. Drink soda. Drink tequila.
I mean, he's, you know, that's just good advice. We hope you'll join us next week. That about wraps up for today's Locked On Clips. Hope everyone has a great weekend. Don't try and go watch practice. You're not allowed to be in the stadium. Monday's episode, we're going to probably have some updates from the practice, though probably weird footage we'll get of one person shooting some jumpers. We're going to be talking to freshies. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Also, check out Rejecting the Screen on the Locked On Podcast. That would be a fantastic podcast for basketball fans as well. I have been positive Chuck Locklear.
And I am William E.
And I will be
we appreciate you.
Dr. Tarchi.
Thanks, everybody.
Sorry for cutting you off, Will.
Oh, you great.